welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all design with the blind in mind. The host for the show, Don Shaw.
Well, Mr. Houston, you made it back.
Well, it's good to have you back with us, too. Don Patterson's here.
Yes, sir, and moving day at the Pattersons.
Hey, I'm Tom Houston, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Show 44.
Yeah.
Is this show 44?
44, it is. And it's July 15th, 2003.
2003. Man, it seems like months. Since we've done one
years,
of these silly
maybe.
Blind Handyman Dern Dern.
It has been a while.
Silly little old shows, you know. Just
but one vacation nicer.
Well, yeah, it was, but it just seems, you know, now it seems kind of strange to be here.
Yeah, it seems
like. You're doing one. I did four Blind Like Me shows just to put four of them together.
All right. Very good.
So I'm ahead. I wanted to have five ready before we started.
Ahead of the game.
And if you're listening on ACB Radio and you're listening on the 18th of June, July of 2003, whatever. Three? What is this? 2003?
Yeah.
You should immediately following the Blind Andy Man.
Carry my one. And
carry your one.
Down
your four.
Yeah.
Well,
you got
it. Only one of us really doing anything is this guy, Mr. Stroke Victim here.
He's going to have moving,
a stroke
man.
Moving his furniture not.
Well, since we met last, the people who keep up with the warden and I may not know, but we... she had her house for sale, almost up for sale for 2 years. Mine had been on the market 6 months. And we were beginning to wonder about hers and really, really beginning to wonder about mine. And we sold them almost on the same day.
Both they houses
are gone.
Are
historic. Have gone in history. And we are moving. We thought we were going to have to go to an apartment. But luckily, and believe it or not, the fellow who bought my house is going to rent it back to me.
So, I mean, did he come down on the rent right on it?
Right even with what I'm paying now.
That's
very good.
So,
man, excellent.
And
excellent.
So, yeah, what a deal. Well, he said that's what he's going to do with it, and it'll give him... I'm not sure how he meant this. He said me staying there would give him a chance to find some good renters. He may have snuck one past me.
I have a little rent house. I can tell you what he means. He means because they want it. They want to move in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because their rent's up where they are, and they got the money now. And if you don't rent it to them now, buddy boy. You know, you lost it. If you won't rent it to them today, it's gone. But I probably got on the Sunset House 30 calls, and 15 of them were HUD. People want HUD houses.
Uh-huh.
Well, we moved probably 4 or 5 rooms of furniture in 2 days out of the 6 or 7 rooms that we've got to move. Of course, then we'll have to do it all again when we're going to build a house, and when we move into that, maybe 6 months.
They're going to build a house.
The cold weather move.
How many of you folks really feel sorry for them? They're building a house. 2,100 square feet.
Yeah, what a
study.
Deal.
How many square feet?
2,100.
My goodness,
special.
That's a big
two
house.
Air conditioners. Hot and cold running maids.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Building a little casa. We need to go out and look at your property out there.
Ponderosa.
One of these days when the cruise is over. Well, I guess the hurricane is not going to screw up our cruise. Pat and I are going on a little cruise Thursday, and it's not going to get screwed up. We won't get to hear this show. Aw, I sure hate that.
What a deal.
I guess we can fish it out of the archives.
Don and I are going to cruise Timberland while you're gone.
I hope you have better luck than we do on the cruise. I'm sure on the cruise we won't have any. Like, you're drunk. What do you mean by that, baby? You know.
Well, then, because we'll have to keep one eye out for the warden and Lou.
It's going to be, because she'll be gambling. I can tell you what Luanne will be doing.
Gambling.
About the Hurricane 1. One interesting historical note there they've been talking about on Channel 11. People who used to listen all the time know that Dr. Frank, the guy that used to be the head of the National Weather Service, is just kind of a local weather guy now. And the hurricane almost put a direct hit on Indianola, Texas, and just wouldn't pay to live there because the town was destroyed in 1875 by one, and then in 1886. And then everybody finally moved.
Whoa.
And then was on the fringes of the 1900 and 1915 Galveston. So it's sort of like Indianola was never meant to be.
Yeah,
but
also,
they also said that this is the first time in a lot of years They had one in July, middle of July. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is unusual.
It is.
It's been
unusual.
10 years since we've had anything on, you know, here on the coast.
Really?
I didn't know
yeah.
it'd been that long.
It doesn't seem like it has. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like
it. Seemed like Carla was only yesterday. It was 1961.
Really?
Anyway.
I guess with Dr. Kevorkian out of the picture, you could just move there, huh?
Yeah, you could. Just, oh. Yeah. Be a good, they ought to rename it Dr. Kevorkian, Texas.
That's
yeah.
right.
Anyway, well, we've been on vacation. We're full of it today, aren't we? Got a lot of... Anyway, we've got the Blind Like Me show going, and that'll be on Friday nights. If you have guests for either one, we'll give you all the email addresses in just a minute. And speaking of email, I just like that segue. What do you think?
Good segue.
Get a big email. Here we go. Hi, all. I'm trying to help my girlfriend with her computer. She recently upgraded to JAWS 4.51, and it looks like the DeckTalk Access 32 software got deleted from her system. Now, since I use the Eloquence software myself, I'm not sure how to go about getting it back if she can't find the disk. Does anyone know if or where I could download the software? Now, a tech support guy from Freedom Scientific told me I could do it from their site, but I don't find it, and besides, I don't think they make it. Does anyone know the answer to that question either? Thanks for any help anyone can give me. This is from Gabe Griffith.
Phil, you're a deck talk person.
Well, how'd that get on the handyman? What does that have to do with handyman stuff?
Fixing things.
Oh, fixing things?
Yeah.
Fixing, you know, I don't really know. I think I may have a disc somewhere, but I've got two deck talks, but I don't know. Pat's a computer quit. You and Pat are computer.
Well, I would go back to the Freedom Scientific again, but you might want to give those folks a call because I haven't downloaded anything from them in a while, but it seemed like I needed some software for something, and there's a specific site. Maybe it's the name of the software. You go into their onto their site, and then they're going to have a download page, and then I think you've still got to go one layer down. Like it's going to say something like DeckTalk 32 or whatever you're looking for. I'd call their tech support, and they can tell you right where to go, and that would sounds to me like it'd be your best shot.
They don't even make DeckTalk.
Did they quit making DeckTalk?
No, but they have a lot of things on their site. Like, seemed like I was wanting NSYNC. I can't say it's not NSYNC. It's something else that I use to download things from the Braille Note back and forth, which is not. And I think they just have a download site.
Well, DeckTalk. I don't know if they still make DeckTalk or not, but DeckTalk was made by Digital Equipment Company.
Right.
Digital Equipment Corporation. That's where the DEC, DEC came from. Digital Equipment.
Oh, I think people still brag about them, so I would try their place.
Oh, I think it's the best speech synthesizer ever made.
Yeah, I think I would try their place.
I think I might try Digital Equipment Company because they, I heard about something else. I don't think they just made, I don't know that DeckTalk was made to begin with for blind people. I mean, I'm not sure it was.
Yeah.
I think it was made probably for other people that need synthesized voices. Like, man, have you heard the voice the National Weather Service is using now?
Yeah.
It's the best synthesized voice I've ever heard.
They are making giant strides in that, aren't they?
And I think that's made by Bell Atlantic or, no, not Bell Atlantic, but a phone company. What am I thinking of? What's phone company?
Oh, for Bell. Southwestern Bell or, I know what you want to say.
My
AT&T
Natural Voices. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So I'd go to Digital Equipment, but I think they make other things. I think I saw an MP3 player made by Digital Equipment. So I'd try their site, and actually I'd call Kevin.
Doucet.
I'm sure if you want to know anything about computers, he's my guy. Him or Snowbarger would be able to tell you. Where to do this, because both of them are computer whizzes. Anyway, we hope that helped you. I'm sure it didn't, but we hope it did.
Okay. Hi. My name is Haroon Propst. I hope I'm saying that right. I've been blind from birth, and I'm very technical. My father was an engineer with Mercedes in Germany, and as a result, I've been exposed to cars and things like that all my life.
Uh-huh.
I'm now working for myself repairing engines, and I also do a lot of work with car electronics. I also write lots of music using a keyboard and a computer.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to say that I am loving the show and never miss it. I would love to have a chat with you guys sometime. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Haroon. And I hope I'm saying his name right.
Very good email.
Well, speaking of having a chat with us guys, and I guess he meant us guys, we want you to start saving your Confederate money, folks.
Yeah.
Not necessarily your Confederate money, but we want you to start saving money because we are putting together, at this point in time, a blind handyman cruise. Yeah. I'm kind of debating as to whether to just do a little 4-day one to begin with and just kind of see how it goes. I think we may
be the thing to do, probably.
We might do that, but we might have both options. So if if you want to do that within the next 6-8 months, we're going to do a blind handyman cruise, and we want everybody to go. We're going to do a couple handyman shows while we're, while we're cruising.
We'd have to do that, wouldn't we?
And I think all of us are going to go if we possibly can. We're going to work it out where all four of us. Well, the only doubt is you.
I'm going.
The only doubt is old Tom
Houston.
I'm going
to be there, front and center.
Can't hardly get out of Burke, Texas. No question about me and Pat. We're cruising fools,
man.
Yeah,
we can talk Miss Cleta into it. We're going.
We got to talk.
And I guarantee you we can.
We've got to talk Cleta into going on this. But anyway, the Blind Handyman Cruise is coming up, and we'll give you more details. I thought Alicia would be back to me by this time, but she isn't. Maybe next to Handyman Show, we'll have details on the Blind Handyman Cruise. We want all of you to go. We'll, of course, we'll tell you more about it later. So you may get to have a chat with us guys.
Okay. Yeah, and Arun there sounds like a potential guest on the show.
I think so, Donald.
Contact information. So anyway, thanks for the email.
Anyway, I got this off the group page, but I'm going to read it because somebody finally noticed the picture we put up there.
Good.
That's not a bad picture of the gang, this guy says. He said, now I know what you guys look like. I also noticed no one has a cup of coffee sitting around. Around here, one
very
common
receptive
comment is, anyone see or know where I put my cup? I can't find it. And this is from Chili Blind Man.
And this guy this guy, I think, is a...
He's the air conditioner.
He has a degree in refrigeration.
Yeah.
Which
he
got before he lost his eyesight.
Yeah.
But, brother, if you want to know anything about air conditioners,
he knows about AC systems.
He's your man.
He knows his stuff.
Oh, he does. Man, I've read some stuff he posted. He knows... We think we know. He knows air conditioners front and back. We need to have him on as a guest also, Sean.
We do, and talk about AC units.
We're just trying to help you, aren't we?
AC or furnaces,
chill a blind man. He'd be a good...
to answer his question, I drink my coffee out of a big glass.
Big, giant
mug. I think he's got one there with him. Were there any liquid receptacles showing in the picture? There weren't, were there, my wife?
I think my big blue glass may have been there.
Oh, that's okay. He pours his in a glass. I just drink,
right out of the pot. Right.
Out of the coffee pot. Right, I just drink it.
Okay,
yeah.
Andrew
drain it down.
LaPointe writes, I read a post here about electric screwdrivers and was wondering what I can use to make sure that the screw is straight before I drive it in. I seem to have a hard time leveling things. Things feel straight, but no cigar. How do you do this? There must be some proven tool that you can have in that toy box. Looking forward to a reply. I've been reading these messages for a short time now and must say I've learned so much in the little time here than years asking someone sighted. Thanks all for all your wisdom.
You know, I always start screws if you're going into wood, and if the wood is, first of all, drill a pilot hole, first of all. And
that helps a lot.
Of course, how would you know if the pilot hole was straight? But I always start, if it's soft wood, if it's soft pine, I always start it with a hand screwdriver.
Yeah.
And then put the electric screwdriver. Because if you don't, you put pressure on the electric, you're liable to, start it with the hand screwdriver. It's much easier to keep straight or to keep level or
it
to
is.
Keep going straight into the wood. Get it started with a hand screwdriver and then put the electric screwdriver on it. And if you buy an electric screwdriver, buy one that is, that when you start squeezing the trigger, it gets faster the more, that's variable speed. So if you buy one that just is, unless it's a, now a real electric screwdriver is slow. Of course, we use drills all the time as electric screwdrivers, or I do.
Yeah.
But a real electric, the thing that they call an electric screwdriver runs reasonably. It doesn't run nearly as fast as a drill does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, for a brand name, it was the Pivot screwdriver. It's a little, it folds kind of like either holds it like a pistol or a straight out.
That's
and I really love it, and it's low RPMs, and it's powerful. It's not as I mean, it won't jerk your arm off like your drills will.
Yeah.
But also, my secret, and I have partial sight, and I still do this, if it's a major deal, I have a nail punch that I bought 30 years ago. And I take to start a screw, I'll take my little nail punch, and you hit that puppy with a hammer, not really hard. You'll make a nice indent. And if you do with a good electric screwdriver and keep your speed, but the pressure, most screws will kind of level themselves.
You know,
if you'll put just good constant force, you know, not a lot of force, but I'd, rather than drilling a pilot hole, I'd take my hammer and tap it if it's practical. And
you know, and if you had, if this was really a problem, and I guess this is for this guy, I'd take a, or get somebody to, take a piece of wood, say a piece of wood that's an inch thick, and get somebody to drill you several sizes of holes in that, and size the screw with a hole in it that's a little, you know, the board would have this, have a hole a little bigger than the screw. Lay the board on top of what you're going, put the screw in, it's going to be, it's going to get somebody with a drill press where the hole's going to be straight to drill you some holes in a piece of wood. If you were here, I'd do it for you.
And also, I've seen for manual screwdriver, or like what you'd call these Yankee drill screwdrivers, a little clip that held the screw for you.
I've seen those.
The little prongs like things come around the head, but now I'm not sure. I'm reasonably sure that someone makes one that, you know, most screwdrivers will accept, like socket drivers or whatever. Yeah. So that may be available for your electric screwdriver.
And then for an electric drill, they make the little sleeve gizmo, the bit you put in. You put the screw in it and then slide the sleeve down over the screw.
Right.
And when it's straight with the wood, you zap it in.
Well, that's what a guy
needs.
And
where would you get that, Craftsman or somebody?
Yeah.
Done?
Yeah.
I wonder what
Sears or your local home improvement.
Lowe's, Sears,
yeah.
Home Depot, ask, and the screw guide is probably what you want.
Screw guide. I bet a hardware store would have one. I don't have one because I don't know that I've ever had that problem. But anyway, call us and let us know if you solve it. Who's our guest, Donald?
Our guest today is Max Robinson from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
We've never had anybody from Kentucky. You know, whiskey, bourbon isn't bourbon unless it's made in Kentucky, guys.
Exactly.
Did you know that?
Kentucky.
Yeah, chicken ain't chicken till it's looking good fried. Back in just a minute with more of the exciting Blind Handy Man Show, y'all.
Hotmail.com. Contact information.
Blind like me.
Blind like me.
Lowercase all one word at txucom.net.
That's blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com.
Blind like me at txucom.net.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Email us often and give us your opinion.
If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Do you remember
Famous and Andy?
Harry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture.
Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Kondo. The Magician.
The Incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous Assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
Listening to the Blind Handyman
on the ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
We have a guest today that I have never met, so we'll meet him together on the radio, even as we speak. Max Robinson, sir, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just fine, and how are you?
We're good. We're down in Texas, and you're in
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
You know, it ain't bourbon whiskey unless you make it in Kentucky.
Well, that's true. Sure
is. That's what I've heard. Guy says he wants a bourbon and coke. He means he wants some sort of whiskey made in Kentucky.
That's right.
I was not, my father-in-law clued me in on that. It's another,
Just
another wonderful fact I've learned from my father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That makes two, right?
That's two. Yeah. I've known him 20 years, and that's two things I've learned from him. Only kidding. Just a joke. So, what age, sir, are you?
Okay, I am 63.
63?
63, and I'm retired.
You got me by a year. I'm 62.
Oh, okay.
So we're stumbling along about the same age.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning hurting about as bad as I do, don't you?
Yeah, uh-huh. It's beginning to come to that.
You're retired from what? Retired from where?
I'm retired from the university here, Western Kentucky University, where I taught for 33 years. And I also did some engineering work for them at the same time.
But you were at the end, a tenured professor, right?
Well, to all practical purposes, the dean said I had tenure, so was enough for me.
That was enough for you. Were you partially blind when you started teaching there?
Yes. I was born with cataracts.
Uh-huh.
And cataracts aren't a big deal today, but when I was born, they were. And,
yeah.
They didn't really know what to do with them, and they had some unsuccessful operations. And the next doctor who got a hold of me said, "Well, they said they had messed up my eyes in some way."
Yeah.
And ditto for here, Max. That born WW2, 1942 was my birth, and cataracts. Similar situation.
So now with a child that happened to, they would just remove them, wouldn't they?
Yeah. They can the doctor who I went to after my mother took me to when I was about 5 years old said, well, after World War II, said if he had gotten hold of me first, I could probably have 20/20 vision with glasses on.
But
I have 2% in one eye right now.
2% in one eye.
Yeah, I had a detached retina.
So you can see, you can't read print at all.
Yes, I can because I'm down in Florida. I hooked up with the most wonderful doctor who fitted me with a set of glasses.
Whoa! Yeah,
they would call them low vision glasses today. Mm-hmm. Actually, I have two pairs. One pair is for working a little bit further away, and another pair is for reading, when I literally have to put my nose against the page.
To read.
Or the computer screen to see it.
Have you ever had luck with, like, a CCTV?
Matter of fact, I'm building one right now.
Oh, yeah?
I had collected all the parts
over
the years. They're overpriced.
Yeah,
they are
right.
Overpriced.
And so, but I just never had time to put it together. Well, now that I'm retired, I have time to put it together. And that's what the question was about the stripped out, the broken off tap.
Yeah, on the list.
Process of building that.
Yeah.
So you're building a CCTV with, and I guess you'd have to buy the camera, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I bought the camera and I bought the zoom lens, and somebody gave me an old monitor. You remember when computers had black and white monitors?
Uh-huh.
Somebody gave me an old one of those.
So you are configuring the camera so that it will work with this TV?
Yeah, I'm building the whole thing on one of those old roll-around typewriter stands.
Okay.
Made out of steel.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm mounting the camera on posts. Mounting the monitor on posts up above, so it won't get in the way of the reading surface. And then the camera will be mounted up there also, looking down and beside the monitor.
Well, you kind of want the camera movable, like on a gooseneck or something, don't you? Want it where you can move it?
Actually,
no, I'm going to make the board that the book rests on movable.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, I knew one of them would have to be.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of your current projects.
That's right.
Now, you taught at this university 35 years.
Yeah, 33
so
years.
That was basically the only job you ever had, wasn't it?
Pretty much, yes. Uh-huh. I had a 2-year job down in Florida, uh-huh. which led into this job.
Uh-huh. Did you teach electrical type?
Yes. I have a master's degree in electrical engineering from the University of Florida.
And you got that in the late 50s, early 60s.
I got the master's in 66, got the bachelor's in 65.
Which back then, it wasn't, I mean, now that would be common. You did it at a time when it wasn't so.
That's right, I did. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking about it the other night, and because I listened to some of the other programs you had on.
Mm-hmm.
And I did realize I was breaking new ground. I was kind of scared.
Yeah, well, you were breaking new ground. You did it all with the readers and Braille.
That's right. Readers, they never taught me Braille.
They didn't.
When I was younger, I could see better. I had, at one time, I had about 8% vision.
Uh-huh.
And they said you see too well to learn Braille.
So they would make you what we used to call a sight-saving student. So you could read big print.
That's exactly one of the schools I went to was called sight-saving.
Max, I'm not familiar, like, when you're doing your visual acuity in percentage. What I see in my, with best correction, about 2,200.
Yeah, okay. Well, 20 over 200 would be 10%.
Okay.
Just taking the fraction and expressing it.
I got you. Okay. That makes sense.
So, in other words, you see at 20 feet what some other guy would see at 200 feet.
Yeah. Well,
which basically.
It's worse than that now. I see 20 feet, some other guy would see at 800 feet.
You tell me 2,800 now you've got, didn't you?
2,800.
So I've got 24, which, and Don's got 22, so I'm right between, I guess, you and him.
Wrong, so. Uh-huh. You see a little less than Don Shaw. I'd give anything in the world to have as much vision as Don Shaw, and he doesn't have much.
Not much.
Or even you. But I'm not unhappy with what I've got, none, not unhappy with it.
And we can't change what we've got, so we just have to be happy with it.
Might as well go.
Yeah, might as well be.
I use a screen reader with my computer for what I call the heavy lifting.
I do, too. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
So for the heavy reading, the list things,
use
a screen reader.
At the time you went to school, how was your vision? Went to college?
It was about 2,400 when I went to college.
Okay.
Yep.
So you did auditory learning. You had to do auditory learning.
Yeah, I had to do auditory learning.
But you always soldered wires with that vision and did all the electrical stuff you needed to do.
Yeah, I could solder wires and printed circuit boards and things of that nature.
Jesus, I guess that takes some. I've just never mastered. I've been fooling with building wiring radio stations and production rooms and things like that. I know I was never taught anything. I understand audio flow. So I've been doing this here, but I've never mastered the art of soldering. I guess maybe that, of course, we talked to a guy who could solder, but he didn't solder any printed circuit boards. Mm. That'd take some vision, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that takes these magnifying glasses that I have. Fairly powerful magnifying glasses that are mounted in frames,
uh-huh.
so it frees up your hands.
Does it have light? Is it light assisted,
no,
too?
No, okay. I just have to have plenty of fluorescent lights on my workbench.
I was wondering, have you ever thought about wearing like a little jeweler? You know, they make a little light that you wear around your head that would shine right on your... And that's the perfect thing, to me, that a CCTV would really be good for.
Seems like it would.
I'm going to try that after I get it together.
You had your camera a good long distance from your work, where you could have room to move your hands.
It's about the camera focuses at about 10 inches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can increase that. I have the close-up adapters on it. I can one off or change it to another one, you know.
What a deal. Mm.
Well, sounds like you've dealt with this thing we call blindness pretty well. Are you a married man now? Are you?
Yes, yes, I'm married to a sighted girl named Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just finishing up building a little storage shed on our property here.
Now, what'd you build that out of?
Well, that was actually it was called a kit.
Okay. did you now?
That'll get you a divorce
did
real
you now?
Quick there, Max.
It's a long way from being the carpenter's heat kit.
Both of us, two or three of us, have done those.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not sure they're more trouble than they're worth. There's so many little parts.
Man, there's a lot of them.
And so, you know, so much chance for it. No, this goes here. No, I think it goes here. Well, by God, it, you know, so much for that.
Well, we have the instruction booklet, you know, and... Uh-huh. and some of those pieces for the trusses were pre-cut, you know, the angle cut.
Uh-huh.
And right now Sue is out painting the trim. She's doing a lab, little bit of work on it. And I have this up on my website. Anybody wants to go and look?
No, go and look at that.
Tell us of your website. What would give us the address there?
Okay, my website is www.funwithtubes.net.
Yeah.
Fun with tubes.
It's
fun
a great
tubes.
Site.
As in radio tubes, you know.
So you're an old tube type man.
I'm an old tube guy now. Uh-huh. Now that I've retired, I've completely reverted, completely regressed, or whatever, you know. I've gone back to tubes.
My father was a ham. Became a ham in 1932.
Oh yeah.
Before there was a commission. When we left San Antonio in '55, I'll bet you there was 50 boxes. All kinds of boxes of not miniature tubes, but big tubes.
Big old
tubes.
Know,
six V6s, 6L6s, 833, just all kinds. And he said, well, I can't move these, Philip. I'm going to have to leave them. I got no way to move them. And so somebody probably just threw them in the trash.
I suppose.
You know, they did, you know. Of course.
Those things are selling on eBay now for big bucks.
I know.
Really? What do you think I could get for a Heathkit linear from about 1960 vintage in mint condition with those?
Oh, those, you could probably get $400 or $500 on eBay for that.
eBay's quite a thing. Well, you know, there I've got a guitar-playing friend who is a... He's younger than I am. He's mid-40s, about 45. He doesn't remember tubes, but he is crazy about it. He just, Phil, let me show you this tube-type preamp I got. It sounds great.
Well,
I couldn't tell any difference. It sounded okay to me, but, you know, God, who'd want one?
There are people who have never, you know, didn't have any idea what a tube was. Matter of fact, we have a couple of nieces, Sue and I, and I showed one of them one of my old radios one day, and I turned it on, and nothing happened, of course, because it didn't. And she said, "Must be something wrong with it."
No, yeah.
And I said, "Oh, just wait about half a minute, and it'll be warmed up."
Got a warm.
Yeah.
You had to warm up, huh?
She never heard of a tube.
Never heard of them warming up.
So, are you a ham radio?
Having to warm up.
Yeah. Are you a ham? Do you have a ham ticket?
Yeah, I have a ham ticket.
Is that right? What are you?
K4 Old Dirty Socks.
K4 ODS.
Yes, I started out KN4 ODS in 1957.
Bought a novice ticket, yeah.
Novice ticket, uh-huh, and got my general class a year later. Actually, it was a conditional class, but they discontinued the conditional, upgraded everybody to general.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I worked my way up to advanced, and somebody told me they did away with that and dropped me back down. General, so I was kind of bent out of shape about that.
Actually, I took the 13-word-a-minute code, and I understand now you can get a general with 5-word-a-minute.
Yeah. Really?
Well, you know, I'll probably get moved up to something. I don't know why.
Yeah. I think I could do 5 words a minute. That's not what. And do you do phone or code, or how do you talk?
I do phone.
So you talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, sideband or not?
Talk with, huh?
You talk with sideband?
Actually, I don't have anything on the air right now, but I'm building an AM rig.
Building an AM rig?
Really? Wow.
I found some old Viking Valiant parts.
Mm-hmm.
The modulation transformer and the power transformer. And so I'm going to build a copy of a Viking Valiant.
Whoa.
Sort of a copy, you know.
Have you got it? I guess you've got a schematic on one.
Well, I'm going to get an instruction book for it, but you know, I'm not going to copy it exactly. You know,
no.
I mean, there's no fun in that. You got to make changes in it. You got to do it your own way.
Now, I'm thinking of Viking was one you bought. Heathkit's the one you put together, right?
It's the one you put together. I put together many a Heathkit too.
Yeah, Vikings. But, you bought those. Yeah. I've got a 1942 HQ 129 that still operates. It's still the best AM radio I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's those Mexican stations that are at, you know, 745. You can tune them in with 740 and 750 on, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just got that broad tuner.
I've got a BC-348, the receiver from World War II.
Whoa.
And that is the best short-wave listening receiver anybody's ever heard. I've had people come and listen to it, and they just marvel at how clear the sound is, how easy it is to understand.
Is there anything on shortwave anymore? I would have figured that would have died.
No, the CBC is on quite a lot. Radio in Australia and New Zealand are both on. They come in late in the afternoon on 13 meters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still quite a lot. BBC is still on in places. You kind of have to look for it.
Yeah.
So they haven't completely gone over to satellite.
Well, and then you've still got to every once in a while get to WWV and set the clocks.
That's right.
Oh yeah, got to do that.
But you can dial that on the telephone now.
You can?
Yes, sir. There's your telephone number. You can dial WWV. I've listened to WWV all my life because, like I said, my daddy was a ham, and we set all the clocks by WWV once a month or so. So I've heard that all my life, and it sounds like the same announcer to me. I'm sure it's a synthesized voice by now.
50 or 60 years, huh?
It sure does. It still sounds like the same guy. I think maybe the guy who recorded those is probably dead by now. They still have the recordings, you know.
At the tone.
I would think so.
Probably Harry's Revenge.
Probably.
There are also some websites you can go to that will set the clock in your computer.
Yeah.
But I've heard they can be a few seconds off, that they're not that accurate.
Well, they would be. There'd be a little delay by the time you got it. It wouldn't be accurate.
Seems like it
wouldn't be.
They would have to.
Yeah,
that's no good.
There is one you can get. You have to download special software. I don't remember the URL or anything for it.
Yeah.
But it will send out a pulse and measure the time delay between them and your computer, and it will correct and set your clock within tenth of a second.
So it would ping you and see what the time delay was and set your clock.
Yeah.
Well, if you want this WWV number, I'll try to find it and email it to you.
Yeah, okay. Just put it on the list. I'm on the list. I'll get it.
You know, I can do it. Isn't the list a great thing?
It is.
I love it.
I love it.
Yeah, it is. Blind folks a chance to talk. Well, you and your wife get ready because we're going to do a blind handyman cruise here in 6 months or so.
Uh-oh.
And we want you to go and talk radio to us, give a little talk, and tell us all about the days I remember.
Okay.
Be good fun. You've been a really fine guest. We're about out of time. We're going to move on, and I think talk about family band radios in a minute. Do you have any of those? Do you have a family band radio yet?
No, we don't have one of those. No.
We ride in cars a lot, and to keep from using our cell phones, we bought a bunch of family band radios.
You'll have to tell us all about that.
We're going to talk about that, and I'll put that on the list, and we've enjoyed you.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Look forward to visiting with you.
Nice all to right. meet you, man.
Thank
good
you, sir.
To you, Matt.
Enjoyed it.
Okay, bye.
Be back with more of the Blind Handyman in just a minute.
Hotmail.com.
That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me.
Blind like me.
Lowercase all one word at txucom.net.
That's blind like me at txucom.net. Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com.
Blind like me at txucom.net.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Email us often and give us your opinion.
If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Do you remember?
Famous and Andy!
Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture!
Box 13.
Captain
The Cavalcade of America.
Chandu. The Magician.
The Incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Tip.
Dangerous Assignment.
Dimension X. Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
You know, something that's good to have around the house, and boy, at the price they're selling them for these days, good to have several of them around for doing these projects. You know, maybe if one of you's working down in the house and the other one's up in the attic and y'all are running some wire, or one of you's downstairs and the other person's on the roof doing something, you need something that we've messed with a lot around here and can talk about a little bit, family band radios. And they're a low power radio. They all broadcast on the same frequency, same set of frequencies. So you could either have a set of two or ten and be able to talk back and forth to each other, but they're just really a great thing to have for just a lot of different uses.
And they make numbers of different styles and models and kinds. You have John Conley's number in your head?
I don't, in fact.
You're going to say we ought to call it Fool and ask him about family.
We do need to do that, don't we? He knows about them all.
He is the family band radio nut since we turned him on to family band radios. What they are, they're just a little small. They're like a walkie-talkie. Like you'd think of it. Remember, I think you and I talked about this, Pat. I had a CB walkie-talkie one time. I swear to God, the antenna was 8 feet long. It was a big, tall, heavy antenna. This thing, you could carry it on your belt if you wanted to walk, you know, half bent over. A great big, and these little family band radios, I've got two that I swear are the size of a pack of cigarettes.
Or similar, like a cell phone.
Yeah, oh yeah, you like know. A cell phone, little antenna.
The old C word.
Yeah.
How many days is it?
16.
16, good for you.
Yeah, I can go 16
days.
I can go for 5 minutes and 15, 20 seconds without thinking about it.
Yeah.
I made it 16 days. I got to make it.
Frankie Brown,
I almost killed her. But these are just little bitty things. They're smaller than cell phones. Some of them, I've got three or four different sizes. Some of them are even blind friendly. I've got three. I thought I had four of these, but I can only find three of them. Somebody has gotten off of one of them, and I don't know who. But if I ever find out who, they're dead. These, you can set these. I mean, these are, when you turn them off, if you hold the talk button down and turn them on, they'll say code 1. Channel 2. Actually, they say code 1, then you push the button that usually breaks the squelch,
yeah.
And they'll say channel 2. So you turn them back off, hold the talk button down, turn them back on, they'll say code 1. You can go code 2, 3, 4, 5, the code you want, and then set the channel you want, then turn them back off and back on, and bingo, you got, and they talk to you. I've got three of those, and I think Motorola made them, didn't they?
They did. Motorola made them.
They're old. When did we start fooling with these? Back in sometime in the mid-90s, Blind Weekend. Did we have the first Blind Weekend? We didn't.
I don't think, no. But then sometime amongst the second or third Blind Weekend, so you just had them when we got together.
Yeah,
one of the weekends.
What we do on Blind Weekend, we didn't do it this time, but we usually give everybody one, especially when Conley's here, because he got to where he brings his own now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so everybody has a walkie-talkie. We've got 7 acres, and you may be on the baseball field or out by the fire pit, and somebody may be in the studio, and you can talk back and forth. What we use them for, let's see, the first year I had a cell phone was 93. I remember I bought a cell phone in 93. And the first year we were going down there, maybe the second year on the way down, 94, everybody had a cell phone. John had one. and we had one, and seemed like there were just two cars that year. Anyway, we talked back and forth on the cell phone. You know, if we were this is driving to Padre Island, like we do every year, which is a 500-mile trip, so we need
burn lots of cell phone time.
Yeah, man, the bill was 50 or 60 bucks a piece.
Out of your district area.
At that time, we were roaming. And they barely, and there were places in that trip down around south on the King Ranch where there was no service.
That's
not true now. It's solid 8-bar signal from here to there now.
Yeah.
But the second year, we only did that 1 year because by the second year, so I'm saying 95 is when we discovered family band radios, and we bought four of them, family band radios. At that time, I think they were 60 bucks a piece.
Oh, yeah, they were expensive
now,
when they started.
Now you can get three of them for 40 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
They're cheap now.
They've gotten cheap. Small. The only one thing I've heard about them is they come in two types, with the AAA batteries or the AA batteries. And I've heard for the length of time that the batteries will last, it's better to buy the AAs. And they do have good battery life these days.
I think each one of mine takes three little AA batteries. And we can talk car to car. And they'll do
up to 2 miles, they say.
Well, your house is, what do we figure, almost 2 miles from my house.
Yeah.
And you all talked. You went, remember, you and Conley walked over to your house.
Yeah.
And you could talk all the way on the family band radio just till you got to your house. And if you went out in the backyard, we've talked on them from your house.
And that 2 miles is straight. A mile or a mile and a two or three tenths would be more realistic.
Yeah. As the bird flies.
Yeah.
The crow flies.
As the crow flies.
Well, and, you know, these things would really be good. Talk about one of the uses, like if you're doing a project, because it never fails. You'll start out doing something maybe by yourself or you think you can, and then, you have to call the warden, it's nice if they know where you are, and then you could get them on the little family band. You know, hand me that wire, or I need this.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to tell them about the time I was on the roof, and
you were afraid to get down.
And I wasn't sure if the ladder was in its place, and, of course, the warden was inside, probably under the comfort of the air conditioning, watching TV or something, and I found myself hollering, shouting down the vent pipe, you know, Emily! Emily! Yeah. So it would have been nice for me to be able to ring her up on the
family band. Well, you should have one. You did the typical thing that, and I've done it, you got... When you started thinking about the ladder, then it wasn't in the right place. It was.
Yeah.
But you got this mind over matter. You got thinking about the ladder. And, of course, it was the ladder you were fixing to tumble to your death.
Well, I even thought about jumping instead, trying to.
Did it cross your mind?
Take your chances, huh?
And I remember my boy was a kid. He'd just get up on the house and jump off.
Jump off, yeah.
Just jump off. Dad, watch this.
But, you know, speaking of these family band radios, I wonder how. If we lived in the real world, you know, here in Lufkin, Angelina County, Texas, we're always 10 years behind. You know, there's a phone company, Nextel,
that
advertises nationwide and walkie-talkie that comes with their phones. Well, guess where you cannot get Nextel?
Yeah, right here.
So we don't know. So maybe somebody out in the real world that's familiar with that.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of deal that would be.
I think probably it's like phone to phone, and there's no charge. You know, if you were with maybe your certain parties, family members, you know, like even I think our phone company here has, if you're talking to somebody that's another customer of theirs or a family member, it's no charge.
But even if you couldn't get Nextel, if you had the phone, you could use it as a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, you could. I'm saying but we don't have,
we don't have Nextel here.
Yeah, so.
So, but anyway, those phones would be nice. But if you got family band radios, if you're talking car to car, or if you
take it on your vacation,
take it on your vacation,
right, take it on the cruise that y'all are fixing to go on.
Don't worry,
there'll
be two or three family band radios, probably four. There'll be four of us going. There'll probably be four family band radios. So if Luann and I mean if Patterson and I are up on the top deck and we run out of beer, we can call down to the casino.
Yeah.
We can call down to the casino to get him and Lulu to go get us some. So you don't think that'll work?
I'm not sure. One time too, I was in Las Vegas and I had my ham radio, my little handy talkie, Linko, and a security guard. Kind of wanted to commandeer it. He thought maybe I was sending signals to someone.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, if on vacation, they're really neat. Luann and I took them on the cruise, and she, we talked back and forth. We'd taken them to use them in hotels, they're just neat. And they're cheap these days.
They're real cheap.
But the cheap ones now, if you go to Walmart.
Frankie!
Sounds if, like she has something to say about
Frankie,
it.
Frankie does. Frankie, we'd like some email for Frankie. If you go to Walmart and you buy the three for $50, you're not probably not going to be able to set them. It'll probably take sighted setting. And the thing about those is, and you may not know this or not, if you don't know, but the codes are not transmit codes, they're receive codes.
That's right.
They are receive codes. And so most of those cheap ones are going to have only code zero. They'll have, you'll be able to change channels, but they'll only be code zero.
And if you're not in a crowded area, that's fine.
But if you are, like
if you are,
when you get to Padre Island, which is a beach in South Texas, you got to find, I didn't tell you this.
Codes.
On the way down, we were using channel 11. Code zero, because one of the walkie-talkies only had code zero, and there were people talking on it. So I keyed up and said, "This is the Federal Communications Commission. This channel is being used for emergency traffic. Anyone using this channel will have their radio confiscated." And unkeyed, and they never talked again.
I bet they.
They never talked again.
I wonder that.
It got a hell of a good
that's
laugh.
Good.
I wonder if on the cruise ship, what if everyone though brings their code zero radios, and I go, "Hey, Emily," and two or three I show up. Maybe we could get lucky.
Well, that could happen.
You never know.
The old cruise. All right. Anyway, go get you some Family Band radios if you don't have any.
And unlike the ham radios that we talked about with our guest here in the last segment, the nice thing about these is no license required.
Oh, no, you just come and talk on.
Speaking from Mr. Expired.
Yeah, that's right. Mine has expired.
Well, so is yours, Pat. You
no,
don't have
sir.
One.
No, sir. I had the 10-year ticket. I've got about 3 years
they
to go.
They don't make 10-year tickets.
They
do now.
Yes, they
oh,
do.
They do?
But I wasn't on that. I expired before that took effect.
Shaw?
So.
You want to bet me that he lets it expire?
No. I've got
how much you? How much
well,
you I bet you $5 he lets it expire.
With the move and all, there
I will be.
Be
never,
doing, it'll be gone here
he'll
in
never,
a year
he'll
or
never
two.
Think about it. We'll bribe Emily not to remind him.
Not to renew that
and
license.
He won't.
He'll
never do it.
The
all right.
Former, the former N5.
Former N5.
it is. It calls no longer any good.
Robert Peters was on the Blind Like Me show. He let his expire. He was W5GBZ.
So,
really?
So there's several available.
So there are lots of calls. W5LXOs available.
Well,
so,
it's the day of the computer these days.
It is.
Man. I'm just not sure why you need an amateur radio with Family Band radios these days to talk with back and forth locally.
With MSN chat and all that.
That you can talk to anyone in a chat room by voice anywhere in the world. Why do you need a ham radio?
And, you know, with the shortage of spectrum space, I figure they'll be on the market here.
You know, I bet there are less ham operators now than there have ever been. I bet there are less shortwave stations now than there have ever been.
It seems like there would be. Man, you
could be interesting research. Man.
Tons of shortwave. That'd be a good deal for your little segment.
For my
John Patterson.
It would be.
In the history of communications.
Blind hams. It would
blind
be.
Hams and things like that.
Shall we touch on air conditioning filters right quick? We got 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, yeah, if we got just a minute to kill here. I work at this office 1 or 2 days a week, and one of the things to do down there is some maintenance from time to time. And went down there the other day, and actually these other folks are supposed to change the air conditioner filters, but you know how it goes when you're busier than I am anyway. You just don't have the time to do these things. So I said, well, I'm going to check this air conditioner filter and see if these folks have changed it here lately.
Let me guess. It was caved in.
And sure enough, man, the filter was just unbelievably dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just caked on that filter.
Yeah.
So, man, I took that filter out and changed to another one. And, I'm talking within 10 minutes, started noticing a difference in the airflow there around the office.
Yeah.
I mean, it made like a big, big difference. And someone said something on the list one time that made real good sense to me. They said if you buy the cheap disposable filters, which are as good as any and better than some because the air can flow good through them.
Yeah.
But the point is, they said if you buy the cheap little disposable filter, put it in, and you wait for a while to change it, and you can see the dirt on the filter or feel it caked into the filter,
uh-huh.
that you've already spent way more on electricity than what you did when you originally bought the filter,
huh.
which I thought was a good point. So in other words, keep that filter changed at least
once a month. Well, yeah, change it. But we could get in a long discussion. I don't like those permanent ones because they reduce the airflow.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
If you don't have enough, the more air, of course, not always the more air, but there's a point you reach when if there was more air across the coil, you would not gain anything. But you need a lot of air across that coil. If the coil's cold, you need to move a good bit. In fact, in my house, I cut another return air.
Yeah.
There was a place to do it, and every time I put a filter in it, damn near sucked it out of my hand.
Yeah.
So I just bought another grill and cut another return air, and it's helped some.
That's what they've done at the office, too.
They say that, especially like you say, Don, once a month. Yeah. My house, the Allendale house, had a single air conditioner, but it had two return airs, one upstairs and one downstairs.
Yeah.
And changed both of the filters, but the upstairs never got near as dirty. And sometimes you'll look, and that's kind of an inclination not to want to change it. But I just had a schedule, and I heard it's like changing the oil in your car. It's the best maintenance you can do.
The best maintenance you can do.
And I change them in the summer once a month.
I do. Yeah.
In the fall, I may not. I may go a couple months without changing. Because in the fall, I open as soon as I possibly can.
Windows
I open the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I want the house. When she leaves in the morning, old Phil opens the house, and then about 4:30, I close it up and turn the air conditioner back on.
Oh, yeah.
I like the house open.
And I've heard the same thing. The cheap little disposable filters are better because you get more air across that coil.
You get more air across the coil, but you got to remember to change them.
But you got to remember to change them.
You've got to remember to do it. Well, guys, after our little vacation, we did another one.
We've about wrapped up another one, haven't we?
We really have. Good to have everybody. Don will be all mood by next week. All that silly stuff will be done. Sold both his houses. You folks, I know, were
what a deal,
sweating
man.
That, thinking of moving to Lufkin. Boy, everybody wanted his houses. What do you want? Anyway, we appreciate it. Don Shaw, thank you much, sir. And Don Patterson was here. Thank you, sir.
Glad to be here.
Appreciate you. Tom Houston ran the board and did an admirable job.
Well, thank you, sir.
And you're going on the cruise, Houston.
I am indeed.
You're darn right you are.
That's your choice.
We got to have you.
That's your choice.
That'd be up to you now, wouldn't
it? I bet if Cleta doesn't go, I don't go.
I bet you don't.
I got a feeling. I have a sneaky.
Anyway,
Kentucky, too, right?
Email us, please, at blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Stay tuned for the Blind Handyman if you're listening to ACB, and it's July of 2003. See you next week. Phil Parr, I see, said the blind man. You picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.